Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Hey, a couple of reminders, too, about the opportunities to kind of connect with us socially in a social kind of way through Facebook. We encourage you, if you've got a smartphone and you check in places, when you check in on Facebook on your smartphone, it tells you all of your friends that you worship here and that you're here this day. So we encourage you to check in on Facebook or follow us on Facebook sometimes. We encourage you to, if you're on Twitter as well, you can use the hashtag FCCGrace to try to generate some conversation about today's message or about the topic. And there's a little QR code in your bulletin today as well for the YouVersion live event that is available as well that will take you through some notes if you'd like to do that. And you also have a bulletin insert to help follow along today as well. So if you can't follow along today, I'm not sure I can help you, but there's a lot of options for you there to engage. So, all right. It's really hard to believe this, but we are entering into Thanksgiving week. It's like this week felt like a day, and so this month has felt like just a couple of days. It's flying by. It feels like the kids just went back to school, and yet here we are, and we're all ready for a little Thanksgiving break and to hopefully see some family, and I hope it'll be a great opportunity for you. But when we were thinking about the Thanksgiving holiday and how it goes right up to next Sunday, beginning our Advent series, preparing for Christmas, we thought, what greater topic could we really give some attention to than the idea of grace? This idea that God has given us so much, not out of our own strength, but it's His gift. And so when we think of Thanksgiving, we ought to think of God's grace in our lives. So we've been spending the last couple of weeks looking at this idea of grace and what it means and how it can influence us. I ask you a question on your insert, also in the YouVersion app. What is more challenging to consider as it relates to you and grace? Is it more challenging to receive it? Is it more challenging to live within it? Or is it more challenging to offer it to others? Three ways to look at grace today that we're going to spend some time. Is it more challenging to receive grace, either from God or from others? Is it more challenging to trust God in the midst of very challenging moments and live within that grace all the time? Or do you find it very challenging to extend that grace toward other people? I think we probably, if we took a poll, we probably would be split 30-30-30 on this. Because all of us are quite unique and different, but all of us probably struggle with various aspects of grace. Pastor Steve began this series with this thought-provoking definition of grace. Grace is that part of God's heart that sweeps away everything that disqualifies and then pursues us with a scandalously extravagant love. And I want to keep that in front of us as we begin again today because I love the words that were chosen there. This love and grace is scandalous. This is the kind of stuff that if God weren't connected to it, nobody would believe it would be even possible, the amount of love and forgiveness that God can offer us. Last week, we looked at a couple of ways that grace is understood. First, we looked in the Old Testament. We put the word Hanan up on the screen. We got that for you again today. That Hebrew word that is the closest thing that they have to the word grace. Really, in Hebrew, there really is no perfect word that we would interpret as grace, but this is the one that comes closest: to bend or stoop in kindness to another, but not just any other, a superior to an inferior. This is when a superior stoops down to the level of the inferior. What a great image to grab a hold of on the Sunday before we begin thinking about Advent, when the Creator stoops down to the level of His creation. When He takes on our sin and stoops down to our level, what a powerful image for us to think about. In the Greek, the word is charis, and it refers to an extension not only of His work for us, but it also goes a little bit further. In the Greek understanding of this form of grace, it is also a power that is released into us. So not only is it the vision of a God coming down to our level, but it's that same God then looking at us and empowering us with that grace. So it's not limited to a one-time event. It's not even limited to just some type of mentality. This is God's ability to empower us to live for Him. And that's a very critical understanding as what we want to look forward to today. Last week we looked at prevenient grace. That is that grace that has been before us, that has prepared us for this moment. Today what we're going to look at is the grace that sustains us, a sustaining grace. It is the grace we need for this day. It is the grace that we will need for tomorrow and the next day and every day following. It is a grace that empowers us and flows from us. Now, in our discussion of sustaining grace, I want to give you three R's to kind of keep in mind. You probably will be able to remember these, but if you want to write them down, I encourage you to do that because they all start with R. I hope that it's something that we can just kind of lock right into our mind. But grace offers us several important things to think about, and I've kind of previewed it a little bit already with my words. But the first R is this. We need to be people who are receiving God's grace. God's grace is available to everyone all the time, no questions. Last week I challenged you with that thought. Think of the most vile person in your life. Think of the person that's hurt you the worst. And I want you to know this. God's grace is extending to that person as much as it's extending to you. God's grace is available for all of us. However, it must be accepted. If we look at this from the opposite direction, we could say then that God's grace can be rejected. And that might be challenging for some of us to think about today. There's a theological divide in this idea alone. And it has divided denominations and churches and pastors and families. One side of this divide says that God's grace can be rejected. And I tend to follow along with that. There's another side of this understanding of grace that says it is absolutely irresistible. And when God comes to you, there is not a thing you can do about it because He's predestined you to receive it. And I can kind of go along with that too. You know, both of them are wonderful thoughts. A love that is so deep in us that God, when He comes to you, there is just no way. You'd be a crazy fool to reject it, which is definitely true. But we have a lot of examples of life, and we even see a lot of Scripture that points to the fact that mankind has been rejecting God's grace since we started breathing. And so there's this idea that while grace is available for all of us, it must be received. You know, and in a culture where the lines are already forming outside of Best Buy this week, which doesn't connect with me on any level, that we would begin Black Friday on the weekend before and sit outside a store to wait for something. If you do that, I love you. That's wonderful. Not meaning to offend on this topic right here. However, that's crazy. All right? In a culture that is willing to stay outside all night, I just can't help but think about why we wouldn't see the power of God's grace even more than that item. There are people sitting outside to get one thing in a store for a discount. And yet the greatest thing we could ever hope for is available for us free of charge. And we walk right by the checkout line all the time. See what I'm saying? It's almost too easy. You ever thought about that? Grace almost seems too easy. I mean, Jesus paid it all right there on that cross. He laid it all out there. And all we have to do is this very simple first step of receiving it, saying, you know what, I want that. I want that kind of forgiveness. I want God to wipe away what has discounted me before, what has not made me right, and I want God to fill me with what is His. It is something that we must take that step of faith and receive. You know, again, thinking about how Christmas is right around the corner, I think about how many people received Christ. On that very first Christmas night, how many people received Christ? We've got an innkeeper that was at least compassionate toward a young couple. We've got some shepherds that were at least aware of an angelic chorus out in their fields. We've got some wise guys, right, that were traveling for months to determine if their hunch was right, that God was aligning the stars for a very special purpose. But in the midst of that small crowd, there are thousands who missed it. Thousands of nameless people who passed right on by. And I think, Lord, don't let that be me. In the busyness of my day, in the busyness of our life, I don't want to miss the opportunity to receive God's grace again and again and again and again. Because it's not limited to this one-time experience. Great preacher and theologian John Wesley understood God's grace to be this active presence in every life. It was a presence that wasn't dependent upon our actions at all. It existed whether you would acknowledge it or not. But he would understand this, that it was something that we had to acknowledge and respond to it. And that when we would respond to God's grace, what it would begin to do is to stir up within us this desire to know God. This desire to discover Him and His work in our life. And it's that discovery that is the receiving element of His grace. Everything starts with a desire, doesn't it? I had some donuts this morning. Goodest place as any to confess my sins, right? We had some friends spend the night. Corbin had some buddies over and they needed to eat, right? And I was so willing to go to the store for them. And I brought them home and they just called out, "Eat me." It's just some donut holes, but the ones with the raspberry filling in them, I just lost half of you. And so here's the deal. It starts with desire, because I started thinking about, if I go to the store and if I get breakfast, then I can choose what I want to eat. God's Holy Spirit and His prevenient grace provides for you the desire to want to experience and know God. So if you have any desire at all to want to understand what this is, God is working for you. And you are listening, because if you're listening, that desire is starting to well up within you. And that is encouraging news today. Because some of us walk in here and we feel lost. We feel like there's no hope. We feel like if God only knew everything about us, which He does, by the way, if God knows it all, then He's not going to be interested in being with me. But even to have that thought means He is interested in you, because His grace is working in you, because you have some desire to even understand what this is all about. And so God is working in you, and it is encouraging to know that God is never going to give up working on you. Philippians 1:6, Paul begins this great letter to the church in Philippi with these words, "And I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus," until the day that Christ returns again. There is this idea that Paul is thankful for the partnership and ministry that he has with others. More than that, a commitment and a belief, a strong belief, that faith that is born in people's hearts, that grace that begins to create the desire within them, will take them to a moment of completion. Paul writes this letter mostly from a damp, cold floor of a jail cell in Rome. See, and I don't think that I could do that. I think that if I found myself in a cold, damp floor in a jail in Rome, I'd be feeling pretty sad about myself. I'd be wanting people to write me letters to encourage me, because I did nothing wrong. I did everything that God wanted me to do, and here I am in jail, and I'd be all poo-poo on me, right? That's how I would act. I'm that way in my office most days, let alone a jail cell. But here's Paul. Suffering. And who is he thinking about? He's thinking about this church that he helped launch. In a way, I wonder if he's thinking about you. And I wonder if he's thinking these words are going to go across the centuries. And I want to have an influence on their life. And so God is saying through Paul that there is a work that will continue to happen in our life, which leads us to the second R of our day. After we receive His grace, we must also have to learn how to rely on it. Once we receive His grace, we have to rely on its power. Now, this really should give a lot of us great hope. Because it's not about relying on our power or our wisdom or our ability to plan or our influence. We need to rest and rely on God's grace for our life. It's all on Him. It takes the pressure right off of us, right? See, unfortunately, I don't think that that's how most of us respond. Have any of you seen the video? About 32 million people in the world have. I don't know if any of them are you. But there was a video that went viral on YouTube that was about Denver the guilty dog. Anybody ever see this one? All right. The video was only available in West Virginia, it appears. Look it up. I put a link in your YouVersion app to this great video. This is a dog that was guilty of something. How many of you have dogs and you can know when they've done something wrong, right? And see, I live with a group of women in my house that talk to dogs and think that they understand, and they don't. They don't have a clue until you say walk, and they go, whoa. That's it. But here's the deal. The owner's got the camera, and someone ate some kitty treats. And so he goes up to the first dog, did you do this? And the dog's like, huh? Oh, no. And then the camera looks over to Denver in the corner. And Denver's this yellow lab, looks a lot like our yellow lab, a lot like Riley. And the tail's just trying not to wag. It's just doing this little thing where it's, stop wagging. Don't do it. And he says, Denver, did you eat the treats? And Denver starts to look away. He's, Denver, look at me, as if Denver knows what this means. But honestly, I'm convinced that Denver might know the English language. And so Denver starts to lift his head, and its eyes are closed. And he doesn't want to look. And then he starts to smile. No joke, this dog starts going, It's hysterical. No joke. He now has his own children's book line. You can buy a t-shirt and a travel mug all about Denver the guilty dog. It's amazing what happens when you put your videos on YouTube. Here's the thing. Why am I bringing this up? Oh, yeah. Because it's funny. Now, here's the thing. Too often we walk around life like Denver the guilty dog. You know, God's grace is reaching out to us, and we're just like closing our eyes. I'm guilty, and I don't want to know. I don't want anyone to catch me, so if I just keep my eyes closed. Sometimes we go through life, and we just try to grin and bear it, right? Oh, it's all good. But the reality is, down deep inside, we know our sin, and we know that the only hope is God's grace and God's forgiveness. So Denver taught me a lot this week when I started thinking about guilt. That if we're going to rely on God's grace to get us through this day and the next, we've got to turn it over and allow the Scriptures to be true. God's grace is sufficient. That's it. Jesus didn't make this topic very complicated. My grace is sufficient in your weakness. Plain and simple. And yet too often we don't want to rely on His grace. Ephesians chapter 1, we have been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God is interested in His will being accomplished through you, and sometimes that means mess ups. As long as we allow the channel of God's grace to work in our lives, He'll work through that. And it's interesting, when it says here, through all things, this is a very interesting Greek word. It means all things. That was a trick. It means the same things like the paths of cars and airplanes and arrows and bullets. It doesn't matter. All things work to complete the will of God. And that means there are some really awful things that have happened in your life. And God's hand was at least aware. John Piper wrote this little poem, What is Sustaining Grace? not grace to bar what is not bliss, nor flight from all distress, but this, the grace that orders our trouble and pain, and then in darkness is there to sustain. I want to read that those two lines again. Not grace to bar what is not bliss, nor flight from all distress, but this, the grace that orders our trouble and pain, and there and then in the darkness is there to sustain. There is a grace that we can rely on that will get us through anything that may come our way. Some of you have faced some of the most darkest moments that any human should ever face. And you've come through that to recognize that even in those dark moments, God's grace was there. Some days just holding you up because you had no strength left. That's the grace that God calls us to rely on. See, here's the key. Grace is not a gateway to an easier life. There are preachers out there that want to say, if you give more, God will bless you more. If you're more faithful, things will go well. I can't preach that message. I can't. God calls us to be faithful and then trusts Him with the rest. And our ambition is to hold on firmly to His grace. So here's the power of sustaining grace for us today. Sustaining grace might not be a pathway to an easier life, but it does go into your darkness. Sustaining grace drills right into your mourning and into your loss. And it bores this pathway to freedom. It stares down your illness and your anger. God's sustaining grace doesn't avoid death. It doesn't avoid the loss of jobs. It doesn't avoid divorce. And it doesn't even avoid abuse. God's sustaining grace drills right through all of them, creating a path to hold you up, to sustain you, to guide you, to get you through. So not only do we need to receive the grace that God has for us, but we need to rely on it to get through everything that may come our way. And I say may, but I should say will come your way, because no one's exempt here from getting out of this life with an easy path. If our goal is victory, we must be preparing for the battlefield right now. And we've got to welcome battles when they come. And that's a challenge for us to get our minds wrapped around. We've got to welcome the fight, because in the end, it's the only path to freedom, is to fight through those very challenging moments with the gift of God's sustaining grace. But it is our choice. Will we choose to rely on Him? Or will we take the path of Denver and look the part and try to smile and think that it all will go away? You know, sometimes we try to look the part. Sometimes we just try to do what we think others expect of us in the church, to do the part instead of relying on God's grace. Watch this video and see if you can identify with these two friends.
You get it? It's an interrupting cow. He interrupts. That's what
Come
he does.
On.
He's a moo, right?
It's so dumb. It's a knock
show. Dumb. It's funny.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures.
What are you doing? It's me. It's Jesus.
Lord, we take up our cross every day for you.
Oh, thank you. But the cross is where it begins, not ends.
Thou art the beginning and the end, Lord, Alpha and Omega. It's all about you, Jesus.
Guys, I just want you to be real with me.
You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe.
Drew, I think it's great when you worship me.
Oh, yes. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
It's just that sometimes it feels like you're putting on a show.
Oh, Jesus, please forgive me for putting on a show and being fake.
Okay, I forgive
you. Oh, praise you for your grace. Lord Jesus, thank you.
Guys, just say what you would normally say.
Praise Hallelujah.
No, I mean, like, you know, if we were talking, you know, say what you'd say. Okay, Drew, tell us a joke.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you were before.
Thou art holy, Lord.
That's not a joke.
Oh,
no, I didn't mean that. What are you guys doing?
Jesus, we're living for you just like we always do.
Don't live for me, live in me. When you live in me, you'll understand who you are and what you're living for. I just want something a little bit deeper. But if this is all you want...
I would guess that all of us today want something deeper as well. And when Jesus says those words, I want something deeper, we could echo those back. But too often, we don't allow God's sustaining grace to get into our lives and allow the ugly to be dealt with. We try to put on a good, clever outside and make everybody convinced that there's no problems on the inside. Can we rely on God's grace enough to see the ugly, to work out the sin, to take care of the things that hold us down, the things that cause us pain and heartache? Jesus just wants us to be us, and He wants to hold us just like that, not in our own strength, but in His. It's really that simple. The trouble with trying to be good enough is that it doesn't lead us anywhere closer to relying more and more on God. Quite the opposite. Hear these words from Galatians chapter 3. Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping. A fact observed by the laws themselves, the observed in Scripture, the one who does these things, these rule-keeping things, continues to live by them. But Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into Himself. This is grace, when we allow God to absorb our stuff, our junk, our sin, and work in our lives, and allow Him to work in our lives. We get the final R for the day. Not only do we need to receive God's grace, not only do we need to do our best to rely on its sustaining power, but a major question for us this day is this. Can we release it onto others? Releasing God's grace. Paul told the church in Corinth about the partnership that God has with us in 2 Corinthians 5. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. What's Paul saying here? Paul is clearly talking about the fact that Christ, who had no sin, became sin for us so that we might be reconciled, and that we then would become His ambassadors, His mouthpieces, His living testimony of what living by grace is all about. And that means that there are times that as a Christian, we don't hold on to grudges. We don't hold on to anger, and we don't get all crazy on the interstate and cut people off, and we extend grace to people. We create the space in our life for people to make mistakes around us, and that we don't condemn them for that, but that we love them despite of that. This is without question the hardest point for me to preach today. It's a lot easier for me to receive it, and it's a lot easier for me to live in it in my own little bubble. But it is a challenge for me to release it, particularly to those who are closest to me. And so I stand here today as a just normal person like you, wanting to embrace the sustaining grace of God more and more in my life. But then when I stop and recognize how I think about others or treat others, I think to myself, why would God ever then extend that grace to me? If I'm unwilling to do this for others, what would God think of me? My very first message I ever preached, I was a junior in high school, and I was asked to preach at a Sunday night service in my home church. I preached on this text, Matthew 10, verse 8, just this one verse. Freely you have received, so freely give. freely you have received, so freely give. We talked about already how grace is free. How grace comes to us at God's bidding and because of His gift. And it's with that same mentality that as believers we ought to be willing to extend it to others. To release the power of God's grace. To release the power of God's forgiveness. To release the power of God's hope onto others. And we can do this. But too often, we choose to hold on and be angry and bitter and make our case of why we're wronged and why the other person is hurting us. We hold on to that and we just get more and more miserable, right? Scripture repeatedly challenges us to reject the standards of the world and embrace rather the standards of grace. My favorite passage on this idea is Romans 12. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Believers, we are to act differently. We are to love differently. We are to forgive extravagantly. This is God's grace releasing through us as His ambassadors to a world that is dying and going to hell unless we do something about it. And too often, I live by the standards of this world and hold on to bitterness and hold on to anger instead of freely releasing what I was freely given. This is our great challenge for this day. True worship isn't living how you want to and then coming to church on a Sunday morning with a check and to sing some songs. The depth of grace cannot be experienced by experiencing a single moment in our life of forgiveness and then never returning to that. And the power of God's love isn't limited to your way of thinking only. My question for us today as we close is simple. How are you and how are we going to respond to our Creator who has stooped down to our level? Who has prepared the way for us to discover forgiveness? In what areas of your life do you need to respond to God's grace, His forgiveness, and how can you receive it? How about the challenges that have come your way recently? And many of you have had some doozies. Are you able to look at life's circumstances, your finances, your work, your children, your marriage, your addictions, your dating, your relationships? Are you able to look at those things and rely on God's grace and guidance? Are you trusting God to transform you? Trusting Him to shape you, trusting Him to conform you into the image that originally was in His mind for you? Or are you holding on to your ideas and relying on your strength? And finally, this question, is today the day that you will commit to releasing the power of grace toward someone else? Who has God placed in your path that needs to know that grace rules in your life? What obstacle or frustration or roadblock has recently been presented in your life that God is allowing you to be an ambassador of grace within? What source of anger or hostility is God asking you today to extinguish His grace? Not by your own effort, His grace. How are we to receive it? How are we to rely on it? And how are we going to release it to others? I would like us just to close our eyes. Spend some time in quiet reflection on what this means for you. I challenge you in your YouVersion app, if you're following along there, to make some specific notes of how you feel God is challenging you with this today. Maybe this is the day that you receive God's grace, maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in a long time. Maybe you need to renew that reception of God's grace. It's quite possible that there are things going on in your life that you're having a hard time trusting that God will do what you believe His promises have said. And so you're being challenged to rely on God that way. And it's quite possible this day that God has placed an image of a friend or a family member or a coworker or a neighbor in your soul and challenging you to release His grace into their life. Too often, friends, we come here and we hear the voice of God and then we go home and we doubt it. Too often we come here and we say, yeah, I really feel like God, that's what God's telling me. And then we get into conversation after church and we go home and we have lunch and we go, now what did He preach on again? It's gone. I challenge you this day, write it down. Write it down. Send yourself an email right now. Write it down. Remind yourself of what God is calling you to do in terms of receiving His grace on this day. I'm going to open up these places, these special places of prayer today. Some churches would call these altars, kneelers. We just believe that this can be a special place to leave your seat in a symbolic act of saying, I want to trust God with this area of my life. This can also be a place where you come and you surrender, or you promise to rely, or you even grab a friend who might be seated here with you and you say, I need to grab you and come up here and pray with me because I've been holding on to something against you and I need to release God's grace into your life. Whatever God is challenging you with this day, may I implore you to be obedient to it. Father, we are just your people, hungry to do and to experience your will. And so often, God, it's challenging when it comes to this area of grace. We feel so undeserving and we feel like we're losing control when we rely on something other than our own thoughts and our own mind. So often, God, it's easier for us to hold on to bitterness and anger than it is to release it. And so we struggle with this, God, but you know that. You are very aware of that. But it's through your loving kindness, it's through your great mercy, it's through your amazing grace that you make it available for us to sing a song, to say a prayer, to think a thought, and to embrace you in our life. God, I pray that as we close this time together, that we will do so in radical obedience to your calling in our life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.